What's up, y'all? Welcome back to Source from the Sofa Sports Podcast. We are going to be recapping week one right now. Lots to go over. Honestly, like one of the funnest week ones we've had in a long time in the NFL. It was really great from start to finish. And then we were gifted with some incredibly come from behind victories Sunday night and Monday night. First, it's just going to be me solo right now. Going to recap Monday Night Football as Jason's out of town and Aaron's MIA, but what a hell of a game. So Bears came out hot. Caleb Williams looked really sharp. I believe he completed his first 10 passes of the game. 10 for 10. It was our first opening score. I think in like, I could have sworn it was like at least 15, 20 years, but they looked really nice. Caleb, the routes that they were running, first of all, he had some receivers open on some deep routes early on. He didn't catch them. He did have some open guys underneath to still preserve and move the chains forward, which is really nice. But it would have been nice to see him complete those passes. J.J. McCarthy looked flat right out of the gates. Minnesota mainly ran the ball a couple three and outs. I think it was like maybe two or three back-to-back-to-back three and outs to start the game. They did not look good at all. In any case, the Chicago Bears were up 10-6 at the half, and then they end up scoring another touchdown in the third quarter. Caleb Williams finished 21 for 35, 210 yards and a touchdown. He started 10 for 10, so he went 11-25 the rest of the way, and he had a couple rushes. You know, he showed that he's has a lot of talent. He was elusive, moved the chains. But I felt like after that first couple of drives, right, they kind of went away from the game plan. And it just became more of like the what we've been accustomed to seeing the Bears do over the course of the years. Whereas the Vikings, they had no identity. And then fourth quarter hits and J.J. McCarthy comes to life. Three touchdowns. Two passing, one rushing. He did have that pick six that was really ugly to start the second half. That was as ugly of a pick six as I've seen. But he's a Chicago guy, so he gets to fulfill his dreams of completing a touchdown for the Chicago Bears in Soldier Field. JJ finishes 13 for 20, 143 yards. And all that was in the fourth quarter. He looked every bit of what you would want a guy to look like, I guess. He sat out a year, so he's not technically your rookie of the year. He's been training, rehabbing when his knee was done all of last year. But the poise, the composure, some people on socials, mainly Chicago Bears fans, saying that there was like some questionable PI calls in the fourth quarter that gave the game to the Vikings. I don't know. Maybe so. But still, Chicago shouldn't have been put in that position. They should have put this game away early. They missed their chance. And just like the Ravens didn't put the Bills away Sunday night, Bears didn't either. And they were stuck playing hot potato at the end, trying to make something out of nothing. And that was ball game. I had the Bears in this game. I think all of us in the pod did. And I'm disappointed because we didn't have a great week one, you know, total on the spread. But Chicago on the plus side, if there's like, I think the Cowboys had like a moral victory in their loss. I think Chicago can walk away from this as well. It's going to be a tough season. It's going to be a long season. Caleb still has a lot to learn. He's very talented, has a hell of an arm. He's elusive. He's fast. He's a really big quarterback, the prototypical what you're looking for. But it doesn't look like he processes things fast enough, especially in now in this Ben Johnson offense. You know, they hired him away from Detroit. What is that going to look like? I got to say, I was pretty impressed with what I saw, at least for like the initial quarter and a half out of Chicago. A lot of things can develop. DJ Moore, Romo Dunze, Caleb hit him right where he needed to when he was like falling out of bounds for like a big gain in the first half. Lot to cheer for the Chicago Bears. Nonetheless, though, Caleb has a lot more to go. Same thing with JJ. it kind of felt like they were kind of protecting him a little bit in the first half. More runs, some of the passes just didn't look good. But when it was time to cook, he was ready to cook. And it was like he just had it. He had this passion. You saw clips on social media about the black paint and all that good stuff. People like him. You know, you're hearing about the old soul Chicago native. He's just really mature, but like very low key. I know the guys on the pod, they're not big McCarthy fans. They're saying, you know, Michigan hid a lot of his talents or like hid his limitations, rather. I liked him. He was just playing in the scheme that he was playing in, but national champion, Chicago legend, gets a big victory at home while on the road in his first game as a Vikings, and you gotta love it. There's a lot to love in week one. It was really exciting. Let's back up a little bit because we were gifted with a great game Sunday night, Ravens, Bills. It was all over socials. Ravens were up big time with like 4 minutes to go. I think it was like 15 points or so. I am one of the people that turned the TV off. I was hanging out with my daughter. We put on Super Mario Brothers or something like that. I waited till the last second to see if the Bills were going to make a move. And then right when it hit the 4 minutes, I thought, you know what? It's a little too late. Most likely it's not going to happen. Wrong. I was completely wrong because Josh Allen, you got to love the guy, man. This guy is a pillar in the community. He's a great guy. Married a very gorgeous, attractive wife. He's a really cool actress. And this guy just brings it. Like last year when they got rid of talent and he stepped it up a notch and became the MVP of the league. And everyone's like, you know, like that's what you want to see. Not too many people make that leap, and he made it. And the Bills, man, the Ravens, they just gave him too much time and too many opportunities to come up, and he came up big. Got to give it to Prater. Clutch coming in, joining the team that Thursday night. A lot of the guys thinking he's the coach because he's so much older. Josh Allen had a lot of praise for him. Josh Allen, man, fourth quarter, lights out. Two touchdowns, almost 400 yards total in the game. Lamar Jackson, the Ravens, they look really good. They looked really good for three quarters, and then they just let it off. They do what the Ravens always do. There's been a lot of chatter about Harbaugh. I've been a big critic of Harbaugh as a coach of the Ravens. They've blown, or their strategy, right, for these games. They always go for two, or, you know, go for it when maybe getting the field goal, what the safer path for victory. They've lost a lot of these games now where they're up by double digits and then they just kind of give it away. I think the record is like 17 or 19 games that the Ravens have lost double digit scores since like 2000. A lot of those have been in the past 4 or 5 years. I believe since Lamar Jackson took over as quarterback, it's been ugly. And I don't know how I feel about Harbaugh. I think he's a great coach, but this one got to stink. It just happens too much, too many times with a loaded roster. Honestly, I don't know who's more talented than this Ravens team. I was going to say, at least last year, it was the Detroit Lions. I don't know how they're going to look after week one. You know, Aaron, Jason, they're not big Detroit guys. They're not big Dan Campbell guys. They don't believe in the culture. And they think it's a joke, but then they'll talk about culture for some other team. Whatever. I think Harbaugh got to go. And I've been saying this for years. Maybe I was a little too early. Maybe it's too late. But just so much scarring with these late game mistakes, not going for it. If you have Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, Zay Flowers, he had a big game, 140 plus yards, a touchdown. Derrick Henry looks unbelievable. 18 carries, 170 yards, two TDs. I was on social defending Lamar and Derrick Henry, mainly because they asked Lamar what he thought or what he said to Derrick Henry when he fumbled the ball. He's like, don't worry about it. Yuri did enough to get us close to a victory. You did more than enough. I fumbled in the playoffs. Don't worry about it. And that's really awesome that Lamar Jackson can kind of joke about it like that. But positive guy, positive teammate. Flowers came up big. there's a lot to like about this Ravens team. And I got to say, man, Bills, Ravens, they already look like in midseason form. It's going to be a slugfest. Chiefs, the time is over, man. These guys are going to duke it out for who's coming out of the AFC. And I'm all for it. But tough loss for the Ravens and Bills. I don't know. Was that game of the week? I'm not really sure. Let's talk about game of the week real quick, because I think that could have been Cowboys-Eagles. That's in contention. Cowboys, we were talking about the pod when we were going over the lines. They looked really good underneath Schottenheimer. Made less mistakes, looked poised. I know I'm using poised and composure, but when you do a coaching change and your team looks more buttoned up and disciplined, that's a good thing. People were thinking this might be a one-and-done year for Schottenheimer. I don't know. I need to see more. We talk about it later on in the pod with the guys. Another game of the week contestant, Steelers, Jets. Whoa, Jets looked phenomenal as well on offense. When you're talking about like one of the most penalized teams in the NFL last year, that was the Jets. I don't think they got a penalty until like 4 or 5 minutes left in the second quarter. They absolutely dominated. Their defense was swarming, pressuring whoever got the ball. Steelers kind of came out of the gates a little bit slow. I know they scored right away, but after that, it was kind of like hit or miss until once again, they were down and they needed Rodgers to come up clutch. They scored 17 points in the final frame to walk away with the big victory, 34-32. I was watching the game with my daughter. We were cheering, so fucking pumped up. Aaron Rodgers, 4 touchdowns, 240 yards. Very efficient, 22 for 30. And Metcalf, man, he looks good. He looks good in the black and yellow. I got to admit, man, yeah, this guy's fast. He looks like a beast. I think it's going to be a pretty good year this year for us. Just saying. I don't know if Rodgers can look this good throughout the year. He does look like a statue, right? There's like a few sacks he could have easily avoided, but he can't move left and right. That's expected. That's why I don't play pickup basketball anymore. I'm afraid of tearing my ankles. I can't move like the way I used to, even just 3 years ago. And I'm just entering my late 30s. So props to Rodgers for looking really, really phenomenal, getting the big victory over his former team. Him and Justin Fields switching teams. I liked Justin Fields. Wasn't a crazy big fan when he was with the Bears, but I did like what he brought to the Steelers last year. Thought he should have stayed as a starter. People said that he couldn't throw the ball deep. They babysat the play calling for him last year. When he did complete passes deep, they got called back, if you remember, one of the wide receivers, now with the Dallas Cowboys. Big problem. This guy's starting fights with anybody that kind of took away big chunk plays, and that was a big problem. But Justin did come up really big when the Steelers needed him to. He looked great. 16 for 22, 218 yards, 1 touchdown. He used his legs. He made passes like bullets up the middle when he needed to. I got to say, man, and Aaron brings up a good point later on, no one's really up on Glenn being the head coach for the Jets. Some people say their previous coach was a better coach than what Glenn will become. I don't know. Less penalties. Him bringing his boy from the Detroit Lions, bringing that Detroit Lions magic. The problem is, did too much magic leave Detroit to help these other teams? We will find out as the year goes on. But I got to say, man, Jets looked really good. And that game was a game of the week. One big problem, Jets, Steelers, Baltimore, Bills. No one played defense. I got huge concerns, and these are supposed to be some of the better defenses, Ravens, including the Steelers, in the NFL. They looked really shaky, and obviously it's just week one, so we don't want to put too many eggs in the basket. This is all about overreactions on the days after week one, but nonetheless, really phenomenal games. Let's recap some of the other games. Who shocked us the most out of week one? I got to say, Chargers looked really good. I picked them in the preseason, if you guys want to go back to the pod, for them to possibly make a deep run in the playoffs and win their division. They came and smacked the Chiefs around. They looked every bit of the part. I wish I played their quarterback in my fantasy league because I could have used it. I lost by 1.5. So that sucks. But Chargers, if I'm buying stock on a team, it's them. And Chiefs, not what I expected from an Andy Reid coach team. Mahomes played really well. He did what he does best, and that's to come up with magic out of his ass. And I thought he did what he does usually. Not enough to win the game, but that game, 27-21, wasn't even that close. Chargers all the way. That was really impressive. So I'm up on the Chargers. I think this is a good indication of what's to come for San Diego. Oh, I'm sorry, not San Diego. Now the LA Chargers this year. Colts against the Dolphins. I've been saying this. I said this last year. Dolphins are on the decline. Did not think they were going to go to the playoffs. This year, I doubled down again. I think their coach gets fired by Halloween. He's definitely going to be on the first hot seat rankings coming out after week two. I can talk about that now because it's definitely happening. The Colts, though, Shane Steichen. Aaron's a big Shane Steichen guy. Me and Aaron were kind of up on Danny Dimes last year a few times. Dude, he looked phenomenal. They scored on every possession, and they didn't even have that many possessions. That was the odd part. Every time they got the ball, they just ate up the clock, controlled the clock. I think they had the ball for like almost like 40 fucking minutes. That's like really impressive. They only had the ball seven times, but they scored on every fucking drive and every drive in the first half. First time that this has happened, like scoring on every possession since Peyton Manning was on the team. That's pretty big. That's pretty big. Danny Dimes, 22 for 29, almost 300 yards. Only one touchdown, but he delivered when he had to deliver, and he controlled the ball. His fingerprints were all over this game. Jonathan Taylor ran the ball efficiently. The wide receivers made moves, moved the chains. They look really good. Indianapolis has always had talent, especially on the defensive side. Some people were jumping off ship, thinking they're going to be bottom of that division. I don't think so, man. They were one of my outside picks to make a move possibly in the playoffs. Let's keep an eye on them. We probably need to see more, but let's keep an eye on the Colts. Dolphins, they look done. Tua turned the ball over, as the socials were saying, did not have a great game. They just look lost, and their coach looks lost on the sidelines. What other games can we talk about? We have Cardinals Saints. Tough, tough game. It's hard to play in St. Louis, or New Orleans, rather. Don't know what to expect. Cardinals looked up and down. I expected them to win by more, and it cost me on that bet. But they did come up with the victory, and they did enough to escape. So I guess mission accomplished. Giants Commanders. Whew, man, kind of an ugly game. No one really got off on a really good start. I'm going to have to see more. Russell Wilson looking like Daniel Jones in a Giants uniform. The offense looking stagnant. Defense, they swarmed the Commanders, but the Commanders were able to just make enough plays to get the points on the board, and they walk away with the win, a big division win. I'm going to need to see more before I make a final prediction on Commanders have a tougher schedule this year. Giants, they have the toughest schedule allegedly for this year. Let's see what happens in the coming weeks. But Jackson Dart, they can't really protect the quarterback. But let's see, man. I think maybe like in a late October emergence at the latest, I think he becomes a starting quarterback. Bucks Falcons, another ugly game. I don't want to put too much into this because it was a divisional game. Falcons looked like they had control in the first half. Then Bucks resetted. Mayfield looked like he regrouped really, really well. They come up with a big victory, 23-10, outscoring them from the second bottom of the second quarter on. Led the team in rushing, as well as had three touchdowns in the air. I think this might be like the ugliest win, one of those uglier wins that the Bucks will have all year long. So be on the lookout. Penix looked good, thrown a lot. Wasn't an efficient day, almost 300 yards. But it's going to be a lot of learning in year two over there. We'll see what happens. Bengals, Browns. Don't want to talk about that. Browns defense, though, they'll hold the Bengals down to only 17 points from one of the highest scoring offenses a year ago. Pretty dangerous. Browns should have won this game. Jerry Jeudy dropped a really big pass that could have helped them secure a victory here. Bengals are lucky. First win in a long time in week one. Count their blessings. They escaped one. But Bengals have a lot to work on. They just re-upped on all their talent on offense and some of their stars on defense. Can't repeat what they did last year. We'll see what happens. Raiders, Patriots. Pretty gritty game. It was very exciting. I had the Pats. Thought it was going to be a bigger fanfare for Vrabel. I'm a Vrabel guy. Got to give it up to Aaron, though. He correctly called this Raiders thing. He says they have more talent. I don't know, maybe on offense especially. But Geno Smith, man, he balled out 350 plus yards, touchdown and an interception. Genty didn't rush as much or have a big as an impact. I thought they were going to maybe take advantage of being on the ground. But he did get his first touchdown. Brock Bowers still got over 100 yards. Only 5 completions, but big pickups there. Raiders, they're going to be competitive, and some people are already buying more stock on that wagon. Niners, Seahawks. It was a division game, so don't want to put too much into this. The Niners did enough. Lots of people, I know a lot of 49er fans, they're either really up on the team because they have a really easy schedule, or they're really down. One of my good friends, Will, and his wife, they live in Livermore, and they have season tickets. He thinks they're only going to get seven wins, max. Not very confident. He did point out some of their deficiencies and what they're dealing with this year. Purdy, do you think he's worth that much money? A lot of people don't think so. I think he's pretty good. He didn't have a great game by any means of the imagination, but when they needed him to perform, and that was perform in the fourth quarter, he delivered, and that's why you pay guys like that to deliver. Even when they're having a bad game, they can find other ways to make it happen. Luckily, they escape with a 17-13 victory. Christian McCaffrey, you know, he was MIA most of preseason. Like, is he going to play? Is he not going to play? They just picked up the number one running back from the Commanders. How come he did not rush more than like the 8 or 9 carries that he got? Really concerning, but Purcell did really well. Seahawks, there's some promise there, man. I thought Darnold did pretty decent. A lot of brand new parts in that. They are missing Metcalf. They don't have some of the same weapons that they afforded Geno Smith last year. New quarterback. I'm going to get a little more time to simmer. I need to see more from both teams. I have the Niners going really deep this year, but we'll see how they deal with the injuries, the return of their defensive coordinator when things were good, and so on and so forth. Broncos, Titans. Ugly game. Titans should have won this game. They were the better team for a majority of it. Bo Nix starting on my fantasy team. This is why I don't play fantasy football. Like, that's why I did not for a long time. Besides the fact that I keep on getting kicked out of the leagues that I win. But Bo Nix, 2 interceptions, barely a 150 yards on 40 attempts. Not good. Cam Ward is going to be a really good quarterback. 12 for 28, only 110 yards, but it's his first game. There might be a talent issue there with the Titans. They might just squeak on by in like half these games and have a good chance to get 8-9 wins. They could just win 5 win, you know, games as well. Titans are going to be pretty exciting, very competitive throughout the year. The question mark for me is their coaching staff, Callahan, and his rep so far as a head coach. But a lot of gritty games in this week one here. Packers, Lions. The G-Men. Oh, I'm sorry, not the G-Men. The Cheeseheads, rather. With their new Micah Parsons edition from the Cowboys. He only played a handful of snaps, about 40%. Those snaps that he played in, Packers look dangerous. It's just a different element of surprise there. Like a lion hunting his prey. The Lions, lots of new personnel. Lots of new personnel on the coaching staff. So they looked dead on arrival. I was not happy about this game at all. I thought it was going to be a little bit more competitive. I had the Lions winning, kind of returning to form from last year. Does coaching make this much of a difference in the NFL? Some people say no. Some people say yes. So far, not really good returns. Jared Goff was efficient, but wasn't great. by any means. They did not take advantage of the two-headed monster in running backs. Sam LaPorta led all the receivers. Usually he doesn't get that much love in the receiving game, but he was Goff's go-to in this game. 13-27, the Green Bay Packers look every bit of a part of a potential Super Bowl contender. Jordan Love, he played pretty good. He played pretty good, pretty efficient. Just all around really good performance from the Pack. We will see how the injury impacts Mika, what he is dealing with on his back. We will see if the Lions can correct some of these issues. Again, a lot of these guys did not play preseason, so maybe this is their preseason game. They need to show out, though, because next week they have another divisional game against the Bears, and I don't want to go down 0-2 and then hear the shit talking from Aaron and Jason. They got to get a big victory next week. But nonetheless, that was a pretty fun game. Texans, Rams, a slugfest. Rams defense, they disrupted, as I thought they would, they disrupted the Texans offense enough. And CJ Stroud had a sophomore slump. We'll see if he can recover, if he can get a little more protection from his offensive line. He was sacked a lot, if you don't remember, last year, as well as his rookie year, but last year especially. Not a great game from the Texans. You expect them to show up and out. Matt Stafford, way better than I thought. 21 for 29 for 245 and one touchdown. Kyren Williams, pretty big. Nacua, really big. They got a fighting chance, man. I think I had them at last in that division, but that might be a big fail on my part. I like to take big swings because I got it like that. That might be a big swing and a miss. I did have them win this game, and they delivered. That was pretty fun to see. We'll see how the rest of the year progresses. I think that's every game in week one. A really, really fun week one. Week two is going to be just exciting. I cannot wait to go over the lines with the guys on Wednesday or Thursday night. That should be a lot of fun. There's already tough matchups that are going to have some heavy implications already in week two. And that's what the NFL is all about. I'm digging it. Let's take a quick break and we will get some recaps with the guys. We're going to wrap up week one right now. I just want to circle back on some of the morning games when I was watching them. First, the Commanders. All the wide receivers, they look a little thick and slow, especially McLaren and Debo. I don't know if you guys caught that. They looked a little bit of out of sync, and it just kept on sticking in my mind throughout the whole game. They just look thick and slow, like gravy. I'm a little worried. Everyone got paid, maybe a little too well, and they didn't look as good as I thought they could have looked against the Giants.
I think there were some spots Debo looked really good. Especially kind of in and out of the backfield. And I think he hit one pretty big catch. I think he's always kind of been deceptively fast as he kind of goes through and works, given like his smaller stature and stuff. McLaren, I would say there was definitely timing off with him and Jaden Daniels that was for better sure last year. And I don't know, you know, how much he missed of camp and stuff and get going. I think it's a good observation. I don't know if slow is the right term. I'd say more just like it didn't seem as sync as the offense it was at the end, the back half of last season.
I'm not really too concerned. They had 432 yards of total offense.
They did.
Against a good Giants defense. Washington, they'll wrap it up. They'll get it going. I'm not concerned. Washington's still one of the bigger players. As long as Jaden Daniels is standing upright, they're going to be a tough out.
Yeah, I'd say the one rising offensive player for Washington that game was their seventh round pick running back out of Arizona, Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt, who many thought he's going to leapfrog most of the people on the depth chart. And this Washington staff really saw something in him, which is why they got rid of Brian Robinson. And he had a couple big runs in this game.
A real quick takeaway, the fact that the Niners have Robinson and they only ran him like 10 times or so, especially with their number one guy being out most of training camp. That was really concerning. I didn't like that at all. With the morning games, Rodgers played a really good game. First Steelers quarterback to have four touchdowns in a debut win. But at times, he definitely looked a little slow. Can't go left to right. Definitely took some sacks, I thought, that a younger quarterback could have avoided. But those throws, man, the right arm has looked pretty sharp for the first time in a couple of years. So that was really nice.
Yeah, he definitely is not the quarterback of a decade ago as far as his ability to move around in the pocket and, you know, make people miss, be super elusive, throwing on the run. I think that speed, obviously, which happens when you're 40 years old. It's just what it is. We're not there. But good observation, Rome, as far as what he was doing, actually throwing the ball, because I think for the Jets, it really, even maybe the last season with the Packers, like ton more in the check down where he wasn't really getting those mid-level or deep routes and stuff at an accurate pit clip, where today I think we saw a little more and just wasn't relying on the checkdowns as he probably has been over the past couple seasons, which is probably good news for the Steelers, because that's where, you know, the brief moments last season that Russell Wilson was effective for your team, Rome, was the time when he got in the game post Fields, really stretched the field. And that's where they're like, oh, crap, the Steelers or something. And then they couldn't do it again. So I think Rodgers consistently do that throughout the season and have a different variation to be able to throw a ball at multiple levels could help take this offense to a different space, which they should with DK Metcalf.
Man, Metcalf looked good, dude. He was fast. Well, I wish he got the ball more.
Yeah, I was going to say, is Metcalf the fastest guy in the league from start to zero? I mean, the guy can catch it, bounce off you, and just, like, run by you.
He just
you,
looks
like
so fast. He just looks so big.
Austin
it
had a
the
nice
black and gold.
Yeah, Austin had a nice game for him. But, yeah, I think, like you guys said, I mean, his mobility, 41 years old, it's not going to be the same. Pockets really got to be clean for him. He's not going to be able to really get away from the pass rush. Stepping up in the pocket, going left, going right, something that Rodgers was able to do, extend plays. A lot like we saw in the, you know, the late night game with Josh Allen, the ability to escape the pocket and just keep your eyes downfield and extend plays and throw the ball. Rodgers, those days are probably few and far between with games and plays he can do that. But you give him a clean pocket or get him rolled out and it's, you know, no one's in front of him, he can still drop dimes and he can still put the ball in the money. He's got a great arm still and he's got a good wide receiver, a good tight end. Can they get the run game going? They didn't really need it against the Jets, but run game, keeping the pocket clean, defense, that's the recipe for Pittsburgh if they're going to have a successful season.
It's probably an obvious take. When Rodgers was at his peak, he was able to throw for 40, 50 touchdown passes and sub 10 interceptions throughout the year. Never really turned the ball over.
I want to say Rodgers has the best touchdown to interception ratio ever in NFL history, if I'm not mistaken.
Sounds accurate. I think over the last couple of years, though, I think the turnovers definitely went up. And when you think about what has made the Steelers successful, you know, it is a grinded out slugfest, you know, relying on the good defense the Steelers always have had. Rodgers making a mistake, you know, when these games are tight, you know, could be the fatal difference, you know, when we're going down the stretch and in the playoffs with this team.
Here's another quick take. The Jets, and I know it's just game one, but they looked really composed throughout the game. I think they scored points on every drive in the first half, and big props to their head coach. I think they were like the most penalized team last year. I don't think they got their first penalty until maybe like 4 or 5 minutes left in the second quarter. Their defense got their hands up when they could. I know they lost at the end of the game, but the defense looked pretty decent. And then it seems like they have a really nice identity with their run first offense. And Justin Fields looked great. So feeling pretty optimistic, even though it's only week one.
I mean, I'll say given the episode we recorded last week where Aaron was burying Aaron Glenn, you know, as far as where the team is going
to I stand by that.
Which this totally defense, can.
He's a defensive guy. Gave him 34 points to a 41-year-old. I think the competent part, which I did not take in effect, they brought over another coach from Detroit to run their offense.
It looked good.
That was good. A surprise. Again, taken from the Lions, why I'm so down on them. All the good coaches are gone, and that's just the reality of it.
Yep.
Not all of them. The Jets, just the leading ones.
The Jets do have, you know, some tough but also manageable games here over the next like 6 weeks or so. But I think it'll be an interesting team to watch in the AFC, where if the Dolphins, if they're going to be as bad as they looked in this game, and the Patriots, they obviously didn't take the step quite yet that we were all expecting to. Hey, you know, the Jets weren't a far off team from having, you know, playoff Super Bowl expectations over the last couple of years. So,
well,
you know,
I had them in the AFC Championship last year. So
you did. So, I mean, so
yeah,
there's a lot
I
of
think
that
I did too.
There's a lot of that roster still there. And so, like, you know, there can be, you know, if they're looking at second place in the AFC East and maybe, you know, stretching for a playoff spot, it's probably not out of the realm. If their defense is able to step up and offensively they're able to continue with what they're doing right now with Justin Fields, there's going to be something to like there.
Yeah, going on that point for them first, I mean, they lost five games last year, five or six games in which they had the lead in the fourth quarter.
Right.
And I mean, I'll say this. Robert Saleh, I think he's a better coach, better defensive guy than Eric Glenn. He just had terrible offensive coordinator. Aaron Glenn, I think, got it right at OC. And maybe Fields, like I said, this is the best I've ever seen Fields in the NFL. We'll see if he continues to grow. But they got talent. They got two-headed monster at running back and Allen and Hall. Their O line is okay, but they did work the Steelers, and they got some speed on the outside. So let's see. But yeah, this defense, you know, it was a typical Aaron Glenn, too much man pressure, got out schemed and out coached there on that side of the ball.
So for coaching debuts, I thought Glenn did a great job, as well as Schottenheimer with the Cowboys. They had a pretty good, I know the Jets don't need any more moral victories, especially to start a new season, but I thought it was a good one. But when you go on to, I'm really up on the Patriots. They didn't look as good as I thought they would look in week one. And Raiders, even though it wasn't pretty, they just looked like they controlled the whole game. May looked pretty shaky. Week one, thoughts on that one real quick.
The Raiders game specifically you're talking about? I think there was definitely, I don't know if discipline's the right word for this Raiders team, you know, this year, but it definitely looked a little more organized under Pete Carroll. I think they knew what they wanted to do offensively, you know, with Geno Smith and getting Ashton Jeanty some carries, but then picking up where they left off last year with Brock Bowers and getting him the ball and let him make some plays, open things up for Jacoby Myers, you know, down the field a little bit to make some plays. So, you know, there's something to like there with the Raiders. The Patriots, yeah, I think you expected them to be a little bit better. May take a little more time for Vrabel as he kind of goes in there. But you mentioned the moral victories for the guys who lost. I think Pete Carroll, new coach in with the Raiders, wins. Liam Cohen, new coach, wins for the Jaguars. I mean, those are probably some more winnable games than some of the others. But, hey, those are the guys that won the debuts.
Are those the only coaches that won their debut? I mean, yeah, Kellen Moore got beat. We'll see what happens with Ben Johnson tomorrow.
We will see. Yep. Well, they better win because I got them.
I mean, Pete Carroll got the win. Liam Cohen got the win. Yeah, I mean, touching. I mean, I said the reason why I like the Raiders, I like their personnel better, and I'm not sold on Drake May quite yet. I think there's a lot of talent, but he doesn't have a lot of talent and support around him. That team's still a work in progress. I thought the Raiders, Chip Kelly, like Jason said, great game plan. Bowers and Jacoby Myers, two guys, almost Bowers over 100, Jacoby just under 100. Get your playmakers the ball, and then Jeanty kind of grinding out that touchdown and some other stuff. Raiders are going to be tough. They're going to be competitive. You know, we said they're a team that can win six games. Maybe they can sneak into that nine-game window. Big matchup Monday night against the Chargers coming up this next week. So that would be a better test because, you know, I don't know when we talked about the Chargers-Chiefs game, but the Chargers look like they're going to be a little bit better offensively, at least overall, after game one than they were last year.
Totally forgot I had the Chiefs in that game, but I was rooting for the Chargers. They looked really nice. I do have the Chargers in the long run. So as far as, like, I just want to do, like, a quick little two-minute drill. Jumping on. Teams were jumping on. Teams were jumping off. And teams were just like, hey, it's just week one. Let's not overreact. So jumping on, for me, Chargers. They looked really solid. I'm glad I jumped on before the season starts. I'm buying more stock into that. That's one team I'm jumping on. Jason, who do you got?
Well, I was already on the Chargers, so I don't think I have to jump on anymore. I'm going to jump on Aaron's Colts here. Because I think it's a winnable division. I don't think the Texans looked great.
Oh, you're a different man now.
I don't know. I mean, Daniel Jones and, you know, maybe it's Aaron just talking about Shane Steichen in my sleep.
Danny Dimes when he wins a game.
I think there's something to like there. And, yeah, I think 10-11 wins from the Colts is not out of the question.
That's quite a change from your preseason predictions, by the way. I'm loving it.
You wanted some bold take out of week one overreactions. No, I'm giving it to you.
I like it.
Right.
I like it.
All right.
Aaron, what are you buying? Jump it on week one.
I like both of you guys. I like Chargers and Colts. I had the Chargers not making the playoffs. I had the Colts not making the playoffs. I'm jumping on both teams' bandwagons. You know I like me some Shane Steichen. So Daniel Jones, first year quarterback on a new team with Brian Daboll, playoffs. This is a playoff team if all the pieces stay healthy. I agree with Jason. Texans, I'm worried not about that defense, but their center got carted off. Not, you know, is Mixon going to show up and play this year? There's no timetable on his return. The Colts right now, they're the hot team right now in that division, the AFC.
All right, so we got jumping on. Now let's do keeping an eye. It's week one. We're just going to like, okay, that's kind of interesting here. For me, that's going to be the Cowboys. They look pretty decent against a really good Eagles team. I know there's like a lot of turnover or change on the Eagles. Super Bowl, game one, hangover, whatever, all that good stuff. They looked really composed, really well put together. I'm keeping an eye on the Cowboys to see if they can make, at least have a pretty competitive year this year. Aaron, who do you got? Or thoughts against that?
I don't know. I mean, the Cowboys are fine. I mean, it's team I'm keeping an eye on. I'm going with the Arizona Cardinals.
Ah.
Got a win here against the Saints. Got a pretty favorable schedule here of Carolina and San Francisco, Seattle, Tennessee coming up. Arizona, I think, is a team that's sneaky that could win that division, especially if something happens to Stafford and the Rams. But Arizona is a team I'm keeping an eye on.
They make me feel nervous now about them. They did not look good today.
It's always tough to win in New Orleans. I don't care when it is. I mean, we saw New Orleans get off to a 2-0 start last year. So the Cardinals should have won that game by more, but I like the Cardinals this year. Third year of that system. Let's see what they can do. I'm keeping an eye on them.
I do like their coach, Jason.
We talked to him a little bit. I'm going to keep an eye on the Jets. They're going to play Buffalo this week, so not great. They could be 0-2. Then they're going to go down to two games in Florida. Tough Buccaneers team, but then who knows where the Dolphins are at by week four. But then, you know, they're going to play the legs of the Panthers, the Saints, the Patriots a couple times, the Browns down the stretch. So there's some winnable games for the Jets. If they're going to be like this offensively, be able to do kind of what Rome, the Steelers did early last season with two running backs, Fields running and throwing the ball. If they get anything figured out defensively with Aaron Glenn, they're going to be a really tough out. And Aaron just talked about how many one score games they lost last year. You know, this is a team that could be second in the AFC East, competing for that 6th or 7th playoff spots. Not out of the realm of possibility.
All right, let's maybe not jumping off unless you guys want to commit to jumping off of teams. Now, again, I'm pretty sure I already know like a couple teams that you guys are both jumping off, but maybe concerned about, strongly concerned.
I mean,
concerned.
Jumping off and throwing a raft boat. Yeah, not throwing, you know, not declaring them dead yet, but, you know, there's a team that's floating to the surface.
Go ahead, Aaron. What team is that besides the Lions?
It is the Lions, Rome.
I figured.
I mean, it's absolutely Detroit. I think Jason said it best. This is the Dan Campbell that was in Miami.
Given the
fact that I think these could be two head coaches, if Dan Campbell's not on your top five hot seat, Rome, I think you got to be recheck that list, because him and old Mikey there might be both looking for jobs in the offseason. I think he's definitely in the hot seat. I'm going to say it right now, overreaction, bold prediction, the Detroit Lions do not make the playoffs.
Okay. Jason.
Jason, going to jump on, dude, because there's plenty of room on this boat.
Oh, I'm jumping on. I think there's two before I get to the Lions. I think there was two teams. We already buried the Dolphins. Aaron buried them before the season started, so I don't think it was a shocker, but I was leaving a glimmer of the hope, but I think that's over with. But I think the Lions are the more concerning piece right now. As Aaron has his bet, has his bet with you right now, they play the Bears, Ravens, maybe get a win against the Browns, but they got Bengals, Chiefs, Buccaneers. They have a very tough schedule. And if they don't got it together with whatever the coordinator situation is on offensive defense, if they can't get the offensive line figured out to protect Jared Goff, you know, I think there's a lot of questions this team's going to have. I don't know if they got the time, you know, to make it up. And if the Packers look great, we'll see what the Vikings and Bears look like. That may be their saving grace. I don't expect a ton from the Vikings, even though everyone else thinks they're good. A lot of people are still picking my Bears to be last in the NFC North, but obviously they're going to be better.
A lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people still think the Bears are going to be worse than the NFC North, but after what I saw today, the Lions might be the worst team in the NFC North at this point. So, you know, you want to get overreaction.
I can't wait for you. Yeah,
I agree.
I'm clipping this for sure.
You can clip it if you want, Rome, but I'm saying, like, I don't know what you saw in this Packers-Lions game. There's a lot of concern, so the team needs to get back to what they're doing. But
yeah. Other teams, you know, I have concern for, Rome, I mean, it's only one game. You know, I'm hoping it's not like the old sophomore jinx, but the Denver Broncos offensively did not look good this week.
Thank God. Yeah.
Rome, I give you real takes. My two eyes watch these games, so when I tell you about the Lions, it's true. I am a little concerned about what I saw from the Broncos offensively, but their defense is better than Detroit's, and their schedule is going to be easier than Detroit, so I don't think they're going to sink that low. But Bo Nix, I think Sean Payton, they're a good enough combination that they'll get it together. They kind of struggled out the gates last year early. But I'm concerned a little bit about what I saw, but I'm keeping an eye on them. If you want to add to teams, I'm keeping an eye on.
Well, you said sophomore slump, and C.J. Stroud had sophomore slump last year, and if they don't protect him this year any better, you know, the defense for the Texans, as good as it is, could only do so much. And, you know, Aaron already talked about all the things that they're missing offensively. The Texans are another team to keep an eye on. It's a winnable division. We'll continue talking about it, but if my team on the rise here, the Colts, just snatch it away with them, I don't think it could be shocking if the Texans are just an average team just trying to survive every week.
I'm feeling pretty good about my Broncos predictions.
Well, their over-under is 9.5.
9.5, yeah. You guys both had them over.
I still got them over. We'll see. I'm interested in that game against the Colts next week. That's going to be a good game. That's going to be a good game.
A team that I know it's a divisional game, so maybe that's why it was a little tough, but Buccaneers didn't look as sharp as I wanted them to. Kind of keeping my eye on that. What else? That's kind of all that kind of sticks in my head, actually. It's week one. The only teams that look like they're already in mid-season form are the Ravens, Bills, Chargers. I think that's it.
Well, I mean, if you're talking Bills and Ravens, you got to at least say the offensive side of the ball, because defensively they did not have anything going. That makes that game more curious against the Jets. Jets look pretty good offensively. Will they be able to do some things against that Bills defense? So... And we know Josh Allen has struggled in New York against the Jets. He's lost a couple games of some stupid plays. That's a game to keep an eye on next week too.
I would say it's hard to keep the Eagles, not off a team that looks like they're in midseason form too. Even though they're going toe to toe with the Cowboys, still think they were pretty impressive week one, even with one of their top defensive players getting thrown out in the first play of the game.
And they've got the big showdown with the Chiefs coming up. So
fair. Concerns for the Bengals. We didn't really talk about that. No.
Just I think they got the matchup. Win. It was the win that was the most important thing, because they usually come off to the slow start. So even though they look slow, they still got the win. I mean, holding a team to 16 points, I think, was a big deal for a defense that generally gives up 30. So
yeah, they got a few bounces to go their way. What, a missed field goal and two extra points or whatever that kicker missed. I mean, if you're the Bengals, I think you got to feel good. They always do lose week one against bad, lesser opponents. They didn't look great, but they got a W. And that's the key, right? I mean, they were, 3-8, 4-8 some point last year. We buried them. And, you know, I hate to say it, Rome. I'm going to bring it up again. But the Lions feel a lot like the Bengals did early last year. They might be one of those teams that is like 2-5, 3-6, and we're digging their grave, because I've got a couple guys. I've got a spot picked out for them. Just haven't hired the labor to dig it yet.
Yeah, I find that highly unlikely, but yeah, I'll enjoy it though. It's so crazy, man. Like how you guys can like jump off ship of like some teams, but like still kind of stay within, you know, others. But I love it. That's the whole point.
You're
at, right?
You're asking for a take here. This
I did.
Is what
I love
we
it.
Saw week one.
Yeah. That's what I love.
It was, I mean, you think back a year ago, we were talking about the Saints being terrible, and they came out scoring 50 a game in the first two, and then they went back to reality. So.
Well, then we all readjust, like, wait a minute, like, did we not see the same things? And yeah, it was just a 2-week mirage.
Well, I'm sure
there'll be a few this year.
Well, I'm sure there's going to be something that we're going to see in tape this week, that a couple of these teams will make some adjustments here and there. It'll be different opponents. Obviously, the defense in some of these games, you don't go through the same type of training camp. There's a lot of sloppy stuff that goes on there, you know, defensively from a tackling perspective. Offensively, things may be out of rhythm. So, you know, there'll be some corrections week two. But some of the stuff we're calling out, like, this is grave preparation concern for some of these teams that, like the Lions, hey, this is a team that was firing on all cylinders for the last, like, year and a half. You know, what change has you changed coordinators and a few pieces here and there, that what are you going to do to recover? I think that's what Aaron and I are probably trying to shape with what you consider just throwing us off the bandwagon, or whatever you're trying to say, Rome.
Yeah, to say the Saints last year started 2-0, they scored 90 points in the first two games, but who'd they beat? They beat Carolina and they beat Dallas, who were two awful teams last year. I'm not saying Detroit doesn't have talent. They've got talent, but they've broken in really a whole new coaching staff, offensively, defensively, and their schedule is just brutal to start the year. So it's not outrageous to think that they're going to be below 500 going into that bye week. I mean, if they don't beat the Bears, there's no way they're getting above 500 just with that schedule that's ahead. I mean, injuries do happen, so we'll see what happens with other teams. But on paper right now, it'd be tough for me to have them beating, you know, Kansas City, a Baltimore, Cincinnati, Tampa. I mean, 2-2 split, they'd be happy with that.
Yeah. We're here to take, dude. Let's take a quick break. We'll recap college football real quick. All right, so we're going to recap week two of college football. Aaron, how did you do in your games of the week and the spreads you provided for us last week? Do you have a record for us?
I do have a record for you, Rome, on the good old notepad. The record was in those games was 6 wins, 5 losses, and 1 push.
Mm. Okay.
Obviously,
what were the wins? The
wins were... Illinois.
Okay.
Oregon.
These are the takes they gave in the pod last week?
These are the takes. Okay. After all the games to watch, you wanted me to pick a side, so I gave you a side. So we had Illinois -3. That was a winner. Oregon, I said they would win by 59. They won by 66, so I was wrong there, but they did cover the 29 points. I told you South Florida, under 56. That was an 18-16 final, so that was... Vanderbilt, you kind of laughed at me when I told you they're going to go into Virginia Tech and win, Rome. You saw what they did, right?
I didn't, actually. So,
they won that game.
Did they?
They did win that game.
I totally missed that one.
I told you, again, Rome, Jason has told you, I've told you, you got to get these pods out early, because I told you Arizona State was on upset alert. They got knocked off. So they're no longer unbeaten, but, you know, not a bad loss. It's not a Big 12 loss. You got to win the conference. And then UNLV, we told you they were going to beat UCLA.
I did see that game.
That was another one we got right.
Michigan had a bad loss.
Yeah, just not enough offense for Michigan. Just not enough offense. Defense did a good job holding those guys at 24 points. That's a good quarterback. That's the first round NFL quarterback right there, too.
Everyone's been talking about the quarterback from Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, Texas, that could be a good little showdown coming up here in a few weeks or a month out.
Yeah, I thought week two was just a whole bunch of blowouts. A lot of people were just avenging their first round or their first week losses. Texas looked great against San Jose. What, Archie had like, 4 touchdowns in 4 minutes?
Which was totally predictable, is what everybody said.
Yeah. Utah blew out Cal Poly. I think that was like 60-something to something.
Utah, man. I'm telling you, Utah. They look good.
Alabama had a big bounce back game, but...
They won 72-0 against UL Monroe. That's making Florida State win for them look a lot better. Florida State's a lot better than people think.
I think Florida State's definitely a top 10, maybe a top 5 team.
We'll see. They got Miami here in a few weeks. Tough game at Virginia. So we'll find out.
Yeah, you know, you learned a lot from them being East Texas A&M this
week. Hey, they beat Texas A&M. You just
I thought I was watching that game.
You'll have that East
part. I was like, what? Texas A&M's losing? And I was like, what? Is that an E on the TV? I'm like, oh, I was like, that's why it was tripping me out. Dude, I was doing like dad duty. Iowa State.
I'm sure it's a reputable university, but man, that sounds fake. That sounds like something that's like a key appeal sketch or something like that.
It's like the Oakland airport here. Now they just renamed it the San Francisco Airport of Oakland. You know, it's just
what
they've been renaming it every couple of years. They got sued by San Francisco because they used to be the Oakland International Airport, but they weren't getting enough business, so they changed it to the San Francisco International Airport of Oakland. They got sued for that, so now it's San Francisco Airport of Oakland or something like that.
They think they're the Angels now. They just say something.
Well, when you suck, they suck. You gotta have like three different names.
I hate the Angels' names. It really bugs me. The Angels' name really bugs me, especially if you speak Spanish.
But no one refers to them as like LA Angels. They just go to the Anaheim Angels.
Only Angel fans. Yeah, only Angel fans refer them as the LA Angels, which is really funny. It's crazy. Any hot takes from week 2 in college football?
I don't know if it's a hot take, but I will say I'm concerned with one of my preseason picks Who's that? Clemson. Clemson.
Ah.
Because they didn't look great against Troy, and this should have been a team that they're blowing out. They didn't look great in their week 1 matchup, and they were okay, and it was a tough way to start. But I don't know. I don't know about Clemson winning the ACC, as I predicted right now. As Aaron said, Florida State, much better than people thought. Maybe Aaron already knew this. Miami came out of the gates right, and Beck looked good at quarterback versus Notre Dame, and they actually had their blowout this week. You know, I'm a little worried about Clemson, you know, throughout the year once they get to this ACC schedule, because there could be some games that they throw away, because it may not be as stacked as maybe some of these Clemson teams of the past. And even last year, they got a little lucky to win the ACC. I will say that one's I'm worried about. And then Florida, I mean, losing to South Florida. But has there been a time? I mean, Florida was ranked, 13th, though? Were they 13th? Yeah. Or were they a top 10 team going into this? But I can't remember the last. I don't know. They probably did. I can't remember the last time Florida, is it since the Urban Meyer era that Florida hasn't been just one of these teams that's like 8-9 wins, Aaron, like from an SEC perspective, and just like they have a bunch of skill guys, but like the team can't score. You know, the defense is, you know, good, but not great. Like it's just they don't put it together. Like they're just an average SEC team for the last decade.
Yeah, I mean, the last time they had a good team was early in the Dan Mullen tenure. They lost in the SEC championship game to Alabama probably about 8 to 10 years ago. And since then, yeah, it's been a bunch of 7-5, 8-4 talent, but can't put it together. I mean, this is year 3. But another problem for Florida, too, is their schedule is just so damn brutal. I mean, they did something wrong with the schedule makers, because they basically got Texas's schedule dropped on them, all the good teams, and then Texas got all the shitty teams thrown on their schedule.
Well, this month
They got LSU at LSU this week.
They're at LSU, at Miami, first Texas, at Texas A&M. That's their next 4 games.
Yeah.
They have a tougher schedule than Texas.
Oh, way tougher.
They have twice as many.
If Texas played their schedule, they'd lose 3 or 4 games, probably.
They play Georgia later in the season. They play at Ole Miss, Tennessee, and Florida State. Like, this might be the hardest schedule in college football.
And they had the hardest schedule last year, too. And, you know, they got, I think they won like 7 games last year. But, yeah, that's a tough loss against South Florida, because they were a 17-point favorite. So I agree with Jason on that. I agree with Clemson, too. Clemson was down 16-0 against Troy. They were in like a 2-hour lightning weather delay as well, came back and won.
And they're still ranked 12. I'm really concerned, because they had like the most returning guys out of any college team in Division I, and they're playing like really shaky.
Well, they got at Georgia Tech. I just saw their 4.5-point favorite. Georgia Tech's a pretty solid team, so that's going to be a good game. Another concern, I think, for the ACC is Miami's look good, Florida State's look good, but I'm sure Jason was keeping an eye on this game, but SMU blowing a 14-point home lead against Baylor, who we just saw get whipped by Auburn in the SEC.
Not
so
good.
Maybe there's a little bit of change in the guard in the ACC, where we get back to the old school Florida State versus Miami for that title. I'm all for that. I've never liked Clemson. SMU, they can, you know, go back to Dallas and not taking the ACC money.
South Florida is now ranked 18, by the way. Just
and they got Miami this weekend, like Jason said. 16-point underdog. I like South Florida getting 16 points against Miami. That's a lot. That's disrespect, man. That's disrespect.
You like
the biggest game in CW network history?
It's on CW?
On the CW.
Hey, CW had SMU versus Baylor. That might have been their second best game ever.
I don't know if I have that. Do I have that?
It should be. It's basic network TV.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this last year, Jason. If
Jason has it, because you guys both have YouTube, right?
Yeah, we're on that 10-second delay.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. I mean, some of these games you want to be on a 20-second delay because you don't want to see the crap that we saw.
Yeah. Well, 6-5-1. So you had a good week one. Okay, week two. No more bets online?
For,
Yeah, we gave that up.
No, I got to get it going, man. We got to get on Winnable or something.
All right. I got nothing else.
You don't want to talk about your UCLA getting smoked again, Rome? I mean, you sent us a text message at... I'm going to read it right now for the audience. Because Jason was... You got this text too, right, Jason?
I'm sure I did.
Reverse jinx.
At 7:33 on Saturday night, UCLA is officially trash.
Yeah, me and my daughter were watching it, and she's like, what team are we supposed to be rooting for, Daddy? Like, well, UCLA is my team, all right? I don't know if I want you rooting for that team. And then they turned it on. They looked really competitive. They got some grand runs, had a touchdown that got called back, interception that got called back. They could have came back and won. I don't know. I'm holding out hope, but it gave me enough to hold out hope again for another week. I told you we're not going to know whether they're trash or not until week three or four.
You're going to be fooled by this team that starts 1-4 and then finishes the year like 4-5 and barely misses another bowl game, and Deshaun Foster fools you into a third season.
100%.
You know, he sees like Matt Eberflus from the Bears. Just, you're going to give him another year, and you're going to realize it's not going to work out, and you're going to want to move on.
Nebraska looked good.
Yeah, they're playing against a cupcake team too.
Well, they had to. All right.
How about Vanderbilt? I think we talked about it briefly. Vanderbilt 2-0. They got at South Carolina this week. That'd be a good game.
I just don't know much about Vanderbilt because I know the quarterback they had last year. He graduated, right?
No, he's still there. He got a six-year.
What?
Yeah, he got
it granted.
He got it granted,
but he was already like 26.
He's still there, man.
Dude, he was working on his. I thought he just finished his master's.
I was doing his doctorate, maybe. I don't know.
This is ridiculous.
Hey, it's Vanderbilt, dude. It's a school of education. You know, you can get a lot of different degrees there.
Time to play football and work on a doctorate. It's already ridiculous enough people getting their grad school degree and playing football. I don't believe any of it.
Nope, it's just a piece of paper somebody prints out, man.
Even a low-end grad degree, it takes a lot of work. These guys are it's a joke, dude. This whole thing's a joke.
It's all internet classes now, Rome.
I can't do internet classes. I suck online.
Well, because your internet don't work. That explains it, man.
You're a funny guy, huh? Fucking funny
all right,
guy
I'm out,
here.
Rome. I got nothing else. I'm out.
Funny guy Aaron Toller. F1. I woke up at 6, knew it wasn't going to happen, hit snooze, woke up at 7, put on my laptop, caught the last 3 laps. That's what happened.
You missed the fastest race in F1 history. It was the shortest race ever.
How is it the fastest race? Like, I just...
There was no cautions. They didn't stop. And literally, it was at the fastest pace ever. So
how did Verstappen get so far ahead? Like what happened? Like, I heard there was like controversy with like a pit stop with Lando and Piastri, and I just didn't. I haven't had a chance to catch up yet.
Yeah, I mean, so answering your first question, Verstappen, the Red Bull was just fast in the straights. When you're looking at straight line speed, it was faster than the McLarens, which we really hadn't seen in really any other track. So the Red Bull definitely had pace, and that's where he was able to pass back Lando for the lead after Lando got the lead on lap one. And then once he was out there was just no catching him. Lando was settled in at second. Piastri was at third. The tire strategy in that was basically like, they probably didn't really need to change tires at all, but obviously the regulation is you need at least one change. So the McLarens took their medium tires all the way to, like, I don't know, the 50th lap, basically. There was only like 10 or 9 laps to go. And so instead of going on a medium hard strategy, as most teams did, when they didn't see the tire degradation on those mediums, McLaren made the call, like, do you guys want to just use some softs and just do the last 9 on softs? And they were going to that. Charles Leclerc was in fourth, and so McLaren pit strategy made the call to pit Piastri, who was in second, first, to cover up Leclerc, because they were the threat of Leclerc potentially passing. They did that. Piastri got out quickly, within under 3 seconds. So Norris pitted second. Generally, the lead driver always gets the priority in the pit strategy, but they did this to protect Piastri finishing third. They get in the pit. Norris gets into the pit. The left front basically doesn't go on, and it's a 5.5 second pit stop. Piastri passes Norris, and they basically told him, give the place back because we let you pit first and because of the pit stop time. So that's what the controversy was. And oh. So, you know, two things about it. I think the Lando and Piastri fans are just going crazy because we're doing stuff and we're racing and blah, 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 blah. But Piastri should have never had the pit stop party to begin with. Generally, it always goes to the first driver. They're giving that to protect third because Leclerc could have got it. And it was a bad pit stop. It is what it is. I don't think it's that big a controversy. Piastri only lost 3 points to Lando overall, and it was what it was. So.
Yeah, but good job by Oscar, I guess, giving the position back. But 3 points is not that big of a deal right now. We'll see how it finishes up.
Yeah. Norris not getting the win is the biggest thing, because that's the 7 point advantage you get from the win versus second place. So
yeah, but like you said, Verstappen, he was just fast. They had good pace. Didn't he win by like 20 seconds?
Yeah.
Some ridiculous amount of time.
It was crazy. It's one of those things when you give him the car, there ain't no quest. When he gets out front, ain't no catching up to him.
And Hamilton was riding pretty good too. He had a pretty good race.
Yeah. I mean, he got through the field pretty quickly and then kind of got into his no man's land, which he tends to do.